I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9. You remember those little golden books we used to read in school? Or we didn't read them at school, we read them at home. Mama had Judy and I the whole collection of all the golden books. Those were the Grimm's fairy tales. And this, to me, is one of those sweet stories. Well, it's just a story that you'll never forget. And I'm sure I've introduced this chapter to you sometime before, because I can usually remember the titles of my messages and what they're doing. I may not be able to remember it tomorrow or today, but I can remember all just about all my Easter messages, all my Christmas messages, and many others. So, you know, on your now I haven't checked my car now, but in most cars, that rear view mirror, the one you look through on your windshield, says objects. Or no, I think it's outside the car. Is it outside? Objects are closer than they appear. Well, that's the name of my title, Brother Rick. Closer than it appears. Closer than it appears. And I want to encourage you today. I guess I don't need to. I will say today that your miracle, your destiny, that which you've been praying for and expecting, I believe it's closer than it appears to be. And I will show you why with this very simple little story. First, let me say, Valerie, where did Valerie go? I saw her there. Valerie, it's so good to see you. I saw you last Sunday, too. I love having you at Landmark. Also, Joe Bitten, good to have you all the way from Montana visiting with Sis Alice. And so God bless you all. Glad you're here today. All right. Joe, behave yourself now, if you can. All right. That's all I ask. All right. So, closer than it appears. Let's start to read. And it's 1 Samuel chapter 9. And I told them in the back this morning, Gabby, by the way, you're doing a great job. She's in training with Kathy. And Brother Robert Shane is doing sound now. And what a great sound, man. Appreciate it, brother. You're doing a great job. But I told him, I said, you know, not all the time, this word is so absolutely full. It's almost hard not to read the entire chapter. Or there's just, you've got to know where to stop, what to leave off, and what to put in, lest I keep you here to 4 o'clock today. So I am going to read just a little bit. Now, I want to tell you something. If God comes in and tears everything up like I asked him to on the way to church, I said, now, Lord, you know, anytime you want to come in and tear things up, I'll just go sit down. I don't have to say anything. We'll stay here until nighttime. You know, we'll just stay. But when everything's as it is right now, I may as well just go ahead and preach, don't you think? So, or minister, whatever you call me. So I'll bring the word to you anyway. All right, let me just read a bit. We'll see where it goes. But 1 Samuel chapter 9. And sometimes I learned this from my mother. I don't always do it when I'm reading the word or somebody read it. I like to look at it. You can look at it, but sometimes when you're reading a lot, sometimes you're better off if you just close your eyes and listen and let the story sink in. So however you want to do it, you can look at the word or shut your eyes or whatever, but I just want you to get it, okay? Here's the story. Okay, chapter 9, verse 1. I may just read a couple of lines out of each one and then move on, so follow me, girl. Chapter 9, verse 1, 1 Samuel. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel. Verse 2. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. And there was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now, the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise and go look for the donkeys. And so he passed through the mountains of Ephraim. And go to the end of that verse, it says, but they did not find them. They found not the animals there. Verse 5, and when they had come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and he gets worried about us. And he said to him, look now, the servant said, look now, there is in this city a man of God. How many knows a man or woman of God can make the difference? There is a man of God, and he is an honorable man. May they say that about all of us at Landmark and the people of God in our little city. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. And then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels, it's all gone. And there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I'll give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus. Come, let us go to the seer, for he who is now called a prophet. For formerly they were called a seer. Now, then Saul said to the servant, well said. Come, let's go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. Look at this now. And they went up the hill to the city, and they met some young women going out to draw water, and said to them, is the seer here or is the prophet here? And they answered them and said, yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city because there's a sacrifice of the people today. Where? On the high place. And as soon as you come into the city, you shall surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up, for about this time you'll find him. So they went up to the city, and as they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out toward them on his way up to the high place. Now, look at that. I would say these brothers were at the right place at the right time. Amen? Say that, I'll be at the right place at the right time when God appoints it. All right, that's what they did. They were there right on time, verse 15. And now the Lord had already told Samuel. Samuel is a type of Jesus here. But God had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came. Now, let me just jump off right here and tell you that when God is working something out in our lives, he puts everything in place before you get there. He puts the people in place. He prepares their hearts. He gets them ready to accept you, to speak to you, just like Samuel did. And that's because of Jesus, our prophet, and the work of the Holy Spirit. So, verse 15 again, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came. Tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may serve my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry came to me. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is. God told him, there he is. The man whom I spoke to you about, this one shall reign over my people. What? He's going to make him a king. And then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? And Samuel, I'm reading this whole thing, huh? All right. It's all right. Verse 19. So Samuel answered Saul and said, oh, I am the seer. Now go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, And tomorrow I will let you go, and I'll tell you all that's in your heart. And I'm sure Brother Saul said, this is not what I'm here for. I have an agenda. I wanted to ask you where my daddy's donkeys are. I'm not interested going to have dinner with you and all those people. I'm just not interested. But when you get into the presence of the Lord and you come before him, it makes you forget everything that you were aiming at. You may have had plans, but now, I mean, they just slide right out the door when you get in his presence. So he didn't even say anything. He said, oh, and Samuel just took over the floor. He said, do you know where the seer lives? And he goes, yeah, I'm him. So you get on up to the high place, and tomorrow I'll let you go, and I'll just tell you everything that's in your heart. Verse 20, but as for your donkeys, look at this. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and all your father's house? Samuel knew exactly where those donkeys were. He knew how long they'd been lost, how long they'd been looking, and what was going to happen. And then he says, let's just go, 21, I'm sorry. And Saul answered and said, I'm not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family's the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why do you speak to me like this? Now Samuel took Saul and his servant, and he brought them into the hall and had them sit in the place to honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, prophet Samuel the seer, he said to the cook, bring the portion that I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart. And so the cook came, took up the thigh with its upper part, that's the best part, and he set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is. What was kept back, it was set apart for you. Eat. For until this time, it has been kept for you. Since I said, I invited the people, so Saul ate with Samuel that day. And when they had come down from the high place to the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on top of the house. And they rose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. And Saul rose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. So I'll stop. But there's just so much in this. This could be a 5-week sermon right here. But I just want to tell you that Satan comes to occupy our minds with everything he can occupy them with. And I'm not talking about sinful things. Now, if your mind's occupied with a certain sin or lust, then you need to get over that. You need to get past it, because that's a big deal, and it will pull you down, and it won't let you be who God's wanting you to be and who God has appointed you to be. So you certainly don't want that to happen. But he will occupy your mind with just, the Bible says, other things entering in. Just stuff, just worries. Just, you might worry about the kids or the money or whatever, your house or whatever. But somewhere he can just occupy your mind. But the Bible also tells us, Paul speaking in the New Testament in Ephesians, he said, neither give place to the devil. Give him no place. In fact, Jesus said, that devil holds no place in me. He doesn't have a place in me, Jesus said. And so if he doesn't have a place in him, he needs no place in us. He doesn't need to have a place in our mouth. Amen? He doesn't need to have a place in our minds, in our feet, going to the wrong place, hanging with the wrong people. You know when you're hanging out with the wrong person. What are you doing that? Be careful, church. There's a lot of ways that the devil comes at God's people to steer them astray. And some can be some of the most innocent things. But anything that occupies your mind and tries to, you know, you're thinking on that 80 or 90% of the time, or fear, or, oh, I'm afraid that's going to happen to this. You're thinking about that like that. God is not pleased. And so I want to take this chapter, because the dad, Kish, he said, son, go out. My donkeys have been lost. And it was just the silliest thing, if you want to say, how in the world did his destiny come forth? He's going to be anointed to be the king? When? He was just out looking for these farm animals. Is that crazy or what? I mean, the simplest of tasks. Remember the woman at the well, Rebecca? Abraham's son, Isaac, he said, I want a wife for my son, Isaac. And he sent a servant out who represented the Holy Spirit. And he sent him out to the well. And there was that little girl out there just watering the camels. She just took water into the house for mom and dad. It was her job. That was all she was doing out there in a little house on the prairie. No good-looking person had been by there in years and years, and yet all of a sudden, here comes this guy. And he talks to her. And he said, God, if I don't know, my servant didn't say get one that's fat or skinny or smart or whatever. He just said, get my son a wife. And he trusted me to follow you, that you would show me the way. And sure enough, he gets to the well. He said, God, if I don't know who I'm asking for, but if that's you, I'm just asking, Father, if you would let her say, if she's at the well drawing water, could she say, I'll say, can I have a drink? And she'll say, sure, I'll give you a drink and your camels too. And she had about 20 camels. He had about 20 camels with him. Well, he gets to the well. There's that pretty little Rebecca right there. And he says, well, I'll try it. And he says to her, can I have a drink? And she goes, sure. She dips down the water with her little dipper, gives him a drink. And then she says, I'll not only give you a drink, but I'll water all your camels too. And he's like, that's the woman. And she, listen. She was just going to the same old well, just the same old hard work, lifting that heavy bucket of water, trailing it into that old farmhouse over and over and over and over every single day of that little thing's life. She had no idea that on today, I wasn't going to go here. Now look, this is going to take extra time for me to tell you this, but she had no idea that when she got out there today, that next bucket of water was going to carry her to the richest man in the world. Not in her little town of Tarabella, but to the richest man in the world. And she would become the mother and father of many nations. So she married Isaac, Abraham. Abraham's her father-in-law. Sarah's her mother-in-law. And isn't that amazing? Her kids' grandparents. What's your grandpa's name? Oh, his name's Abraham. Wealthiest man in the world. So, you see, you have no idea. It's much closer than you think. Her destiny was much closer than it appeared. And with Saul, his destiny was closer. He just went on he was just obedient to that. I'm just going to go look for those dumb donkeys. And he told the servant, you know what? We better get back up to the house because daddy's going to start worrying about us instead of those donkeys. We haven't found them. You read it with me. The guy says, hey, I hear there's a seer around here. Let's go see if we can find him. They said everything he says is named Samuel, and they said everything he says comes to pass. Let's go ask him if he knows where they are. So they get over to Samuel at the right place at the right time. Here he comes. They had no idea who he was. God had already talked to him. I'm telling you, church, we worry too much. We just worry too much. You have no idea that you may go about your same old routine in the morning, get up, have that same cup of coffee, get in the shower, go to work, see those same old ugly people at work that you work with every day. You know, that same boss, that same mess. And you have no idea that day may be the day that puts you into the place that God has appointed for you. It may be the day that leads you into your destiny. You're like, oh, I'm so old now. Shoot, you know, I'm not me. Caleb never got too old for his blessing, and neither are we, church. I'm telling you right now. But remember this. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, you don't have to go there. Stay right here on that Samuel. What do you say? But I know your thoughts. What? Uh-huh. He knows every one of your thoughts. And he said, and I know the thoughts that I think about you. And that's what's important. What does God think about us? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not thoughts of evil. I'm here to give you a future and a hope. Say, nothing goes right for me. That God says, that's not what I'm thinking about you, though. My thoughts toward you is to give you a hope and give you a future. Jeremiah 29:11. That's what God wants for us. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Now, Saul, that was a big old strange assignment. And who knows what you're doing every day. And Portia told me the other day, said, well, I'm just an Uber driver. I just Uber for those grandkids of mine. She just, you know, my sheriff's real busy, and so she's keeping kids. Mama's working at the school, and sometimes I get to be an Uber, but not as much as you. You do a lot of stuff, folks. Danny, you got all those kids. Go out there to old Walmart distribution. But you never know what day you're going to walk in there. Same old, same old, same old. You run on to the right person at the right time. This says, hey, I've heard about you, Danny Sonoran. I heard. Like Boaz said, remember? Boaz said that to that sweet little woman that became his wife, Ruth. He said, I heard about how good you were to your mother-in-law. I heard. He's a type of Jesus, too. See, she was just every day going out gleaning wheat out of the field. Just going out there, hard work, working the sweat off her brow. But that next morning, she had no idea when she got out there. The wealthiest man, he owned that property. That she was going to become the owner of that field. She wasn't just going to be picking up what was left over, poverty stricken. Amazing. So here he is, just going to look for donkeys. Crazy. And he gets up there, and this guy says, just go up to the high place. Well, according to what I think I read right here, look at verse 19. He said, oh, I'm the seer. Just go up before me to the high place. What? You want me to go before? I heard that you are a prophet. Now, prophets were way up here. That's how God spoke to the people. The prophets were here. And he says, are you serious? I mean, he didn't say it, but he probably thought it. You want me to go before you to that high place, and you're going to go up there and pray over that sacrifice? And he says, no, you go up there. And tomorrow, I'm going to let you go. But I'm going to tell you everything. And as for your donkeys, I know exactly where they are. So we established that. And then listen to what he says here. Gabby, pull up that verse 20. I don't want you all to miss this, because this is a very important part of the story. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, God, listen, he knows how long you've been dealing with that mess. Or he knows how long you've been praying for that situation that hasn't come to pass yet. You know? I mean, if he knew these old ugly long-eared donkeys had been lost for 3 days, don't tell me he doesn't know where we are. No, no, no. He said, but don't be anxious about them. Remember what Paul said in the New Testament? Be anxious for nothing, but present your petitions to him with thanksgiving. So he said, no, they're okay, but don't be anxious about them. Get your mind off of them. For they have been found. I'm sure Saul thought they have. Well, I don't know where they are. They've been found. See, God usually talks to us in the past tense because he was from the beginning. So he knows the end from the beginning. The beginning from the end. And then look at this. It says, And on whom is all the desire of Israel? On whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on your father's house? And this poor boy is like, all of Israel's sight? They want me? Are you serious, Lord? He said, it's on you and your father's house. And then intimidation and inferiority kicks into this poor boy. And look at verse 21. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? Man, I'm not even of an important tribe. Don't you know who I am? Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest tribes of Israel? And my family is the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why are you speaking like this to me? I don't deserve this treatment, sir. I just can't imagine that you said all of Israel's looking to me. Well, they were looking for a king. See, they wanted a king, and God heard them. He said, I got just the right one for you. And so then that intimidation kicked in, and I want to tell you, don't you dare. Ever, dare, and we've all been guilty of it. Standing in front of the Lord and feeling intimidated or inferior. Thank you, Brother Robert. Somebody ought to be saying amen. But don't stand intimidated and inferior when God says you have a desire in your heart and you can see yourself doing that. But if you told somebody else, they're like, no. Listen, sometimes the dream is you, in you is so big that it would be so embarrassing to tell somebody. Ariel, don't you ever feel left out, honey. All of this is for every single one of us in this room. The cemetery is full of people that never found the donkeys. Only because they didn't run into the prophet. Now, when we can't find the donkeys and you just keep worrying about that thing and you worry and you're anxious about it, you're worried and you're anxious and you're worried and you're anxious and you're fearful, then you need to get on over to the prophet. Because Jesus knows everything. And Wednesday night, we saw where the psalmist, well, New Testament says, Jesus himself said in John 14, I am the way, I am what? The truth, and I am the life. So I'm all that. I am. And then in Psalms, David said, chapter 30, I think, he said, and as for God, he is the way. Listen, it gets better. And as for you, he makes your way perfect. As for you, he makes your way perfect. So they said, hey, this seer, he knows the way. Let's ask him if he knows the way. Jesus knows the way we should take out of the mess. You don't like the mess? Get over to the seer. Get over to our prophet. Say, what is my way, Lord? My way is messy. Make my way perfect. What he said he would do. Well, anyway, he said, I'm the least. Do you know who you're talking to? Verse 22. Now Samuel took Saul and his servant and he brought them up to the hall. Look at this. And he had them sit in the place of what? In the place of honor. And those who were invited were there, about 30 people. How many of you remember when the Binions came to our church? Remember the Binions? And David is just a songwriter. He wrote all those rain songs that we used to sing. And his little wife, Nicole, she's just a beautiful girl. Oh, my goodness, her teeth are just pretty and white, and they're just shaped pretty. And she's just the sweetest thing. They both are. They're so humble and sweet. So do you all ever watch that Better Together on TBN? It's called Better Together. And it's Lori Crouch, and she has about four or five women there on the couch with her, C.C. Wynan sometimes, and other pastors' wives and leaders in the church. And I mean, it's really worth watching. It's amazing. I set my DVR so I can see it, because they just plain spoken. So this time, the other day, I turned and there was Nicole Binion, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I think that's Nicole. I haven't seen her in so long. And there she sat. She's like the rest of us, aged a little more weight. And she's sitting there. Well, it came her time to talk. And her and David have been all over the world. And they're, you know, they were leading worship in one of the largest churches in Texas. And yet they'd come to a small church like ours with us a few times. And just mighty worshipers. So they get to Nicole. And the girls had just already laid out everything. And Nicole says, girls, she goes, I just really don't even know what to say. She says, I'll just be transparent, you all were. And she says, to be honest with you, I was a nervous wreck just to think about coming here, wondering if I was, you know, I was just going to have to sit here and open my mouth and TV was going to see me. And I just didn't know what to do. And she said, to be honest with you, David and I have been seated in places of honor. And I always feel like I'm unworthy. I don't even know. God, how did I get here? And I'm not good enough. And there goes that whole intimidation and inferiority. I'm just not, God, I'm not good enough. So one of these ladies spoke up. And I'm not sure who she was. But she was somebody. You would be on there if you weren't somebody. So she says to her, Nicole, I think I know what you're talking about. She says, you know, I love the Lord with all of my heart. I'm not walking in sin. I've been faithful. And she said, but Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And yet I'm afraid to get close to people because I'm afraid they'll find out about me. And the other girls were like, me too. Me too. And they go, so Lori Crouch, some of y'all may not like Lori Crouch, but I love her. I love her. She is a sweet, precious girl. I know her family. So Lori says to her, Nicole, honey, is that how you feel? She said, yeah, I'm afraid they'll find out about me. She goes, are you living in sin? No. No. You doing anything wrong? Well, not that I know of. But she said, I'm just... It was just intimidation and inferiority. It was just flat from the devil. And those girls were sitting there, all shiny, shiny objects in the Lord, and were in great mighty places. And haven't you all felt that way at times? And she's like, no, they'll find out. They'll find out I'm not. You know, they put us way up here like we're somebody, and then they find out I'm nobody. Well, we're all nobody, so why don't we all just start right there? That we're all nobodies, and then when we get up there, we won't have to worry about trying to be somebody. Because we're already not. So anyway, here, this was Saul. Excuse me, Saul. So Saul was put at a place of honor. Like Nicole Binion, like those ladies. They didn't feel like they fit. And he's like, oh, my Lord. Talked to somebody the other day, and I wanted to take them to a certain restaurant, nice restaurant. And they said, well, my husband don't like to go to those places. He don't like to go to a fancy restaurant. I'm like, fancy? How fancy can you get in Bordeville? Okay, we're not that fancy here. What was that? What was that? I'm just not good enough. Church, I'm telling you, these old mentalities, man, we got to slam them. We got to be like J.L. and nail them on the floor. Get rid of them. But we can only do that through our good prophet, Jesus. So he gets to the place of honor. Stay with me, because, boy, this really gets good. So he's sitting in the place of honor, verse 22, among those who were invited. See, and they were special guests who were invited. Here were 30 of them. Verse 23, Samuel says to the cook, oh, bring the best portion. Now, poor old Saul probably had never had that big old portion. What did it say? It was the upper part, the thigh with its upper part. It's like, what am I going to do with this thing? Do I use a fork? Do I use a knife? Do I eat it with my hand? So Samuel says to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart. Verse 23, set it apart. You know what anointing means? The anointed ones, like you're anointed. It means you've been set apart. You're set apart. Just like this water is set apart. Just to be right here today for the word. So he said, you've set that part of the beef apart. So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and he set it for Saul. And Samuel came and said, here it is. Here it is. Here's what? That which I kept back for you. I kept back something for you. Let me tell you something, Rick and Annette. God has set something back for you. And he has set you apart. He set Rochelle apart. And he counts you worthy to go through this hell you're going through. He's counted you worthy to suffer with him. He said, you suffer with me now and you'll reign with me then. Hallelujah. How many, you've done, yet? The devil's come too late to tell you you won't suffer because we will. So he says, here, I kept this back. It was set apart for you. Eat, it's set apart for you to eat until this time. Did you get that in verse 24? I want them to see that, verse 24. It was set apart for you to eat. Now get this line or highlight it in your Bible or on your phone. For until this time, it has been kept for you. God said, I have kept something for you ever since you were a tiny little girl or little boy. In fact, long before that, when you were yet in your mother's womb, when he was on the cross, the song says, we were on his mind. So he's already had some things all lined up for us. Let's not go to the grave with it hidden like a lot of people already have. Since I said and I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. He ate with the prophet. Verse 25, and when they had come down from the high place of the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on top of the house. And then they rose early. And it was about the dawning of the day when Samuel hold to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I might send you on your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. I'm sure Saul's still thinking, how about those donkeys? You have not said one word yet. Well, today's tomorrow, and you still haven't said nothing. You're just saying, we're going outside. All right, verse 27, and as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, now, this story gets worse right here. Now, tell the servants to go on ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here for a while that I may announce you, that I may announce to you the word of God. Okay, so he's not expecting to be king. He's just, the word of God's going to be, where are those donkeys? That's all he's expecting. Sometimes we set our expectancy level way down here. God says, it's not about those donkeys that you've had on your mind all this time. Now, I'm not talking about physical donkeys to you. You know that, just symbolic of something you've been looking to. But he said there, tell the servants to go on. Tell them to go on ahead of us. Because I want to talk to you about the word of God. You know what? When you get ready to move on, everybody else will leave you. And you'll be isolated and it'll just be just you. And that's a lonely place to be when it's just you. And it seems like everybody else went on ahead. And you're down here in this boat by yourself and you're like, And yet you know you're blessed. You know you're blessed, woman of God, a man of God. And so let's go to chapter 10. I'm not going to do the whole chapter 10, but you've got to see just a few verses right here. And then Samuel took a flask of oil, and look, he poured it on his head, on Saul's head, and he kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? He said, I'm anointing you with oil. I've given you the kiss. And I'll tell you this, church, when God anoints you, he pours an oil over you and your cup runs over onto other people. And then he says, I plant a kiss on you. And when God does that, that is another part of the anointing. And yet it marks a part of intimacy with him. And when you have become intimate with God and you're close to him, and you can't go a day without going to sit in his presence and being in his word, you have had his kiss planted on you and on your life. And so it carries an anointing on it. He said, is this my kiss in this oil I poured on you? It's all about. The Lord has anointed you to be commander over his inheritance. And when you have departed, verse 2, look. When you have departed from me today, here we go, look at it. You will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Somebody say amen. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys. Now he's worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Now Saul already said that was going to happen, and now the seer tells him that's what's going to happen. But you know what I thought about in this verse 2? I thought about the sheriff's department this week. I know you saw Sheriff Boudreaux on the news or read it or heard about it. Remember those, we didn't know it was two men or how many men it was, but they killed that family, the six people out in Goshen, that little tiny town of Goshen, killed them all. And they said it was a cartel. And so the sheriff's department, it said that there was like 87 people that was a part of it. They came from San Francisco and all over, and they were willing, and they put their heads together, and God blessed them, and they were after these men. They were after them. They were going after their donkeys. They were going after those donkeys. We're going to lock them up. No, they're not going to be out here and be loosed and torment the rest of the people in this little community. And you know what? The Lord led them, and they gave God praise. Sheriff Mike gave him praise. The DA gave God glory right there on national TV. We thank God. We believe he was a part of it that helped us find these donkeys. They didn't say that. I did. He helped them. So he says, oh yeah. See, when God tells you, I'm going to give you the truth of the matter, he will. He said, now just maintain. You just relax, and pretty soon I'll tell you where your donkeys are. And so he always does. He said, here they are. And so they went after him, 10 and 2, and they found him. And now he says, don't just go on. Your father will be all right. Now, in closing, verse 3 says, there were three men going up to Bethel, and they'll meet you, the prophet's still speaking, one carrying three young goats and another carrying three loaves of bread and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and they'll give you loaves of bread which you have received from their hand. And after that, you'll come to the hill of God. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come on you. Look at this. Don't miss it. Verse 6 and 7, and the Spirit of the Lord will come on you and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. You will not be known as you are known in this end time outpouring global revival church. We will not be known as we are known right now. You will be turned into another man. And let it be said, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. And let me tell you, when God begins to release your destiny to you, like I said, you're going through the same thing day after day after day. But when he begins to release that to you, he says, now, what were these men bringing? Goats, loaves of bread, wine. They were bringing everything to them. What was that? That was a type of the Holy Spirit bringing them now their gifts to work the work. We cannot walk in our anointing and our purpose without the gifts. So there will be a freshness and a new oil upon the gifts. And then he says, as the opportunity comes to you, then use the gifts at every occasion. So hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me this morning. Let's just stop right there. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And that most insignificant task may be the very greatest thing that's ever happened in your life. The greatest hour is upon us, church. And I'll tell you this, it's much, much closer than it appears. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, let the glory shine upon you. Father, thank you for this word we've heard today. Lord, I thank you for 1 Samuel. Thank you for putting that little story in the book for us, Lord, the Old Testament. Everything just runs right through with the New Testament. So, Lord, thank you. Lord, we're all called of you. I know that. It says, many are called, few are chosen. Many called, few are chosen. But with that, Lord, there's some that ignore both. The calling on our lives. I pray, I know this, Lord. We've got Rebecca's in the house. We have Isaac's in the house. We have Ruth's. We have Naomi's. We have Jael's. We have King David's. We've got Solomon's. We've got Paul's and Moses. We've got everything in this little house this morning. The glory of God is upon us. And Father, I praise you for your will. I praise you for your way, for your purpose. I don't know what that is, but you do. So folks, I'm just going to ask you, standing right there at your seat, just lift your hands up to him again. And just turn them so you can receive. Come on. Just play us something and we'll not put words to it yet. But Father, we praise you. We receive. We receive, Lord, your word. Help us to relax, Lord. Help us to relax. I have no worry. Many of that in this house right now don't worry. And they're blessed to have that. But many do. Many do worry way too much. Many feel intimidated, inferior. Somebody told me the other day, their mother told them, said, those people are not our people, son. Those people are not our kind of people. Oh, no, we don't have to be any kind of people, folks. We're God's people. That's who we are. That's who you are. They're God's people, so no one's any better than anybody else. We're not worse than, we're not superior to anybody, and we're not less than anybody. Not inferior or superior, but we're God's people. Yeah, I believe you're cut above the rest. Because his mark is on you. His glory is on you. So, Father, we receive this day. Come on, come on, come on, receive. Tell him, Lord, get me to the right place at the right time. Seek him out to get his way for you. He said, I will make your way perfect. As for God, he's perfect. Jesus said, I am the way. God's way is perfect. In Jesus' name. I want you to walk up here in faith. Come on up here a little bit, Danny. I want you to come up by faith. Believe in God. He's already anointed these prayer cloths. That you'll come to the right one. And that's been prayed over will be exactly for that that you've been asking. Two to each person, okay, to start with. So come on. Amen, church. Come on now. You can have a seat. Now, just pray over who to give those to. Maybe you don't even have to pray over who to give them to. But, and we're going to have some more made. Ladies, we're going to ask you to make some more of these, and we'll anoint them and pray over them so that you'll have some at home. God bless you all. Thanks for being here today. I pray you enjoyed the word of the Lord. Go back over those scriptures, and maybe we'll just make a series and add some more and get before and after. What do you think about that? I think it's worthy of it. So, Father, we praise you today. Thank you for your sweet people. And, Lord, may you bless us and keep us, cause your face to shine on us. Be gracious to us. Turn your face toward us and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Love you all.